You may notice on the back of your bulletin, the title for today's message is, depending upon how you do the inflection, Why Joseph? Or Why Joseph? Either way, it's going to be the same. I was reading this past week, and I don't know how they come up with these numbers. I don't, but a Harvard-based psychologist estimates that children between 2 and 5 years old ask about 40,000 questions. How do you come up with that number? I don't know. But 40,000 questions. And I'm convinced the number one question that any child will ask most of the time is why? And you know this. If you've been around kids enough, you know why. Why can't I? Why do I have to? Why? 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 Well, for this Sunday and the next several Sundays, we're going to ask this question. And obviously today we're looking at Joseph, the earthly father, if you will, of Jesus, and why he was chosen and why he was willing to be chosen. So let me invite you to take your Bible and turn over to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. From the handout I gave you, by the way, and I gave you this information just so that you know, you'll have it. You don't have to guess later as far as what has been said. But I want you to realize this thought, and I want you to ponder this thought, not just today, but maybe in the days ahead as well. And it's this. You may not know on any given day how the Lord God is going to use you to carry out his divine plan. It may seem to you like it's just an ordinary day in the midst of an ordinary life, but be assured of this. The Lord God is at work in you and through you. Again, let me encourage you to let this just resonate in your mind for just a moment. You may not know on any given day how the Lord God is going to use you to carry out his divine plan. It may seem to you like it's just an ordinary day in the midst of an ordinary life, but be assured the Lord God is at work in you and through you. And certainly we can see this with many Bible characters, but I think it is so evident when you look at this man, Joseph, the one chosen by the Lord God to serve in the role of the earthly father of Jesus. You know this. We sang about it this morning. Not the biological father, obviously, of Jesus, but the one chosen for fatherly responsibility. And today, looking at this Matthew passage, we're just going to see that he really was an ordinary man, but he was called to an extraordinary role. And I want you to understand that by and large, every single one of you are that way as well. If you are in Christ Jesus, if you by faith know Jesus as the Savior and Lord of your life, it doesn't matter who you are, where you are. You, though you may think yourself ordinary, you have been chosen by the Lord God for an extraordinary role because every one of you carry out some part of God's divine plan. You do. You have to understand that. If you're a dad, if you're a mom, if you're an aunt, if you're an uncle, if you are out on the pickleball court, if you are at a professional ball game, if you are at the mall shopping, if you are loving on your spouse, if you're taking care of your children, everything that you do, as I mentioned John Piper's comment not long ago, there are no meaningless moments. God is using every aspect, every moment of who you are, who I am, to carry out some divine plan of his. We may not see it. We may not see it this side of eternity. But I guarantee you it's taking place because that's the God whom we serve. And this is so evident in the life of Joseph. We're going to look at a portion of his life. By the way, you know this. When you look at Joseph in Scripture, there's not a lot of information given about him. In fact, we really only see a portion of his life from that time period prior to the birth of Jesus until Jesus was 12 years old. Because remember, at 12 years old, that's when Joseph and Mary took Jesus to Jerusalem, to the temple. And that's the last time you hear of Joseph. Not uncommon in Jewish writing, though, because as I read this week, oftentimes to the Jewish culture, you don't look so much at the early years of someone's life as you do the later years, because that's when you can reflect on, look at what this man did. Look at what this woman did, who they were, who they became, the part they played in God's divine plan. So it's not uncommon, but sometimes I wish we knew a little bit more. But sovereign God, in his wisdom, knows that we only needed to know this about Joseph. So we're just going to look at a portion of this man. Matthew chapter 1, beginning with verse 18. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife and knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. You know, for all intents and purposes, as I mentioned earlier, Joseph really was an ordinary man called by the Lord God for an extraordinary role in life. A carpenter by trade. We know that because it speaks of Jesus when they said, isn't he the carpenter's son? Joseph was a carpenter by trade, according to Matthew chapter 13, verse 55, which means that he was a common laborer in Jewish society. But there's something about Joseph that is probably pretty common to a lot of guys his age back in the day. He was betrothed to be married. And you probably know this, but let me just remind you, he was a committed husband with a wife at that point in time. A committed husband with a wife, though the two had not yet come together sexually to consummate their marriage. That would happen after a year's time period, after that interval of time when the wife would prove her sexual purity and her faithfulness to her husband by not becoming pregnant by another man. At that point, Joseph would then take Mary as his wife, and the union would then be complete. That's where Joseph was. That's where Mary was at this point in time. I'm convinced it was just ordinary days in the life of an ordinary man. Nothing earth-shattering. But then things changed dramatically for Joseph, didn't they? Unbeknown to him, Joseph was being called by the Lord God for this extraordinary role in life. The remarkable responsibility of loving and providing for his wife as well as loving and providing for his wife's son, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Savior of the world. And you know this because we just read this in Scripture. But Joseph was in a dilemma. According to verse 18 of Matthew chapter 1, while betrothed to Joseph, yet before they had come together sexually, Mary was found to be with child. In the Jewish culture of the day, this was a public disgrace. This was an embarrassment to the wife, to her husband, and to each of their parents who had probably put the marriage together. The Jewish law was clear. The husband had every right to divorce his wife. And not only that, but in doing so, to also put her to shame because of her unfaithfulness in the pregnancy. But here's what is so amazing about this man, Joseph. Joseph didn't see it this way. According to verse 19 there of Matthew chapter 1, Joseph, being a just man, meaning he was a righteous man, he was able to see things as they should be. Joseph was unwilling to put Mary to shame. Instead, he had resolved, it says, to divorce her quietly. Now, you and I may not, as we sit here this morning, be able to think the severity of this. But put yourself back in the days of Joseph. Your parents, Mary's parents, have brought this together. And you have announced, this is my wife. Or we haven't come together yet, consummating the marriage in that moment of intimacy. But she is my wife. I just haven't taken her yet. And all of a sudden, you find out that she's pregnant. Can you imagine what he must have been feeling? If nothing else, think of it from the point of view of what Satan must have been trying to do to his heart and mind. How embarrassing. This is your wife. This is your betrothed. This is the one that you have trusted, you are trusting, and now you find out she's pregnant? It would have been all right for him to put her to shame. It would have been okay for him not just to divorce her, but to say, look, I'm not the guilty one here, you're the guilty one. And even bring condemnation upon her. But that's not what he did. He resolved to divorce her quietly. Why? Well, I'm convinced it's because Joseph had a heart of compassion. I'm convinced it was because Joseph still maybe even loved Mary to the most extent. So much so that he thought about her and her well-being, and he was therefore willing to put her aside, divorce her quietly. He was not going to make a big deal of any of this. I'm convinced Joseph had the heart of mercy and grace. Compassion, mercy, and grace. I want you to remember that about Joseph because it's important, especially for him being this earthly father of Jesus. Well, it happened, didn't it? God always sovereignly intervenes. God does what God does. According to verse 20, as Joseph was considering these things, he's putting everything together as far as, now, what is my game plan? How am I going to end this marriage while gently dealing with my wife? How am I going to do this? And as he's working that through his heart and his mind, God intervened. God intervened in a mighty way. He sent one of his angels to Joseph in a dream. And in that dream, according to verses 20 through 23, the angel explained the pregnancy to Joseph and ultimately gave him a command. And what was the command? Do not fear to take Mary as your wife. Wait a minute, Mary's already his wife. Yes, but now take her. Make it complete. Do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. And what was Joseph's response to the dream, to God's command? Verse 24, when Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord God commanded him. He took his wife. Instead of divorcing Mary, Joseph took her from a legal aspect. Now remember, still, according to verse 25, the marriage had not been consummated sexually, but even so, Joseph made it official. He had a long time period until he and Mary could be together completely. But Joseph, at that moment in time, when God said in the dream, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, Joseph said, I take her as my wife. To him, in his heart and mind, this union was now complete. The union was complete. basically Joseph was committing himself to his wedded wife in that he would love her, protect her, and provide for her. For her and for her son. Wow. What a man. What a man. In fact, I'm thinking, if you want to just say it basically, Joseph was indeed the man for the job. Now, make sure you understand sovereign God's work here. And I do not want to downplay that, because this is huge. But please understand, too, that we're focusing on the man, Joseph. But don't miss out on God's sovereignty. Joseph, according to what he was labeled, and we know this if you read the first part of Matthew chapter 1, this lineage of David, we know that Joseph was the son of David, as he was called. Why is this important? Well, it's important, because as Joseph's adopted son, so to speak, Jesus would be a legal descendant of King David. And prophecy revealed that the coming Messiah would be from that royal line. And so Joseph was chosen by sovereign God because that would put the sovereign line as it should be. And anybody who was going to look at the lineage and say, wait a minute, you're saying Jesus is the Messiah, the Savior of the world? He has to come from the lineage of King David. Oh, he does. Oh, he does. Through Joseph. According to Luke chapter 2, verse 4, Joseph and also Mary, you remember, lived for a time in the city of Nazareth. In fact, it was from Nazareth that Joseph and Mary traveled to Bethlehem to be registered for the census. And according to Matthew chapter 2, verses 22 and 23, Joseph and Mary, along with Jesus, you will remember, returned to Nazareth from Egypt following the death of King Herod when he was going after the newborn king. And why is this important? Well, because, again, based on prophecy, the Messiah would be called a Nazarene. And so if you look at it from just the aspect of sovereign God putting things together, Joseph was the man for the job because Joseph was of the lineage of David. And Joseph, being a Nazarene himself, brought Jesus into the place of Nazareth, where he would be called a Nazarene, and prophecy would be fulfilled. And if we only looked at those two aspects of sovereign God's work, we would applaud and say, God, that is so good. I can see why you chose Joseph. But I personally think it goes deeper than that. I think if we're going to look at why Joseph was really the man for the job, we have to focus on his character. We have to consider those much-needed character traits of Joseph that Jesus would obviously observe in his early growing up years. How much influence does a parent, especially a father, have on some kid growing up? It's huge. And we know this. It's huge, especially when you look at a society where fathers are not in the picture. And you realize all of a sudden, a kid needs a dad, needs to see, needs to hear how that dad lives his life, how he functions, how he thinks. What is his character all about? Listen, we know this. We would never debate that. Well, isn't it the same for Jesus? Now, yes, he is the God-man. Yes, he already has instilled in him these godly traits. And you remember the three traits we're focusing on? Compassion, mercy, and grace. I'm convinced they're already there in Jesus. But you can't tell me that Jesus wasn't blessed when he looked at the man Joseph and he said, wow, that's what compassion looks like. Wow, that's what mercy and grace looks like. It was played out in his daily life. How do we know this? How do we know that that must have been important? Well, in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 and 15, we see this about Jesus. Hebrews 4, 14 and 15 says, Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Listen, Jesus, though God incarnate, still lived on this earth being tempted in every respect just as we are. In every respect, Jesus had to deal with being a human. He had to deal with the issues of his culture, wanting to be holy and pure because that was God's will and that was his mission in life. Yet he constantly was being bombarded, not just those 40 days in the wilderness. Remember when he began his ministry, not just those temptations, but you can't tell me that there was not a period early in his life when more than likely he would have been tempted as well in every respect, just like we are. And again, wasn't it something amazing that God the Father, in his wisdom and knowledge and sovereignty, chose the man Joseph to serve the role, the responsibility of Jesus' father on earth? Now, don't get me wrong. Joseph was not a perfect, sinless man. But he was a man, as we just read in Scripture, who loved God and who responded to God by obeying God's will. Do not fear to take Mary as your wife. God, I don't want to take Mary as my wife. She's pregnant. And God says, no, Joseph, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, because the child that she is carrying is from the Holy Spirit. And I can only imagine Joseph going, I don't understand this. This doesn't make a bit of sense. But God, I know you. And God, I trust you. And God, I will obey you. And though not a perfect, sinless man, again, I think what we see in Joseph's relationship, if not to anyone else but to Mary, we see that heart for the things of the Lord God. We see the compassion and the mercy and the grace. And if nothing else, I'm convinced those three characteristics, and there were probably more, those three characteristics being seen in Joseph, they were a tremendous affirmation for Jesus. Certainly as he was growing up, and I'm convinced even as he got to the stage in life where he is now out in ministry, and you remember Scripture says about Jesus, he looked at the people and he had compassion. He looked at the people and he showed mercy. He looked at the people and he showed grace. Was that already instilled in him? Yes, because he is God, and God is a God of compassion, mercy, and grace. But I am convinced that in moments of times of struggle, when Jesus was being tempted, he was able to look back and go, I remember what compassion looked like from Dad, Joseph. I remember what mercy looks like. I remember what grace looks like. And I am convinced that that is why, when you look at Luke chapter 4, verse 22, it is a huge blessing that Jesus was known as Joseph's son. Isn't he Joseph's son? Joseph, an ordinary man called by the Lord God for an extraordinary role in life. Don't miss out on the fact that sovereign God put all of this together, and give him the praise and the glory and the honor. And as you're doing this, look at the man he chose, Joseph, and marvel at what God did in the heart and the mind of Joseph so that he would fit that role perfectly. Perfectly. And let me just remind you again, you're not here in this life by accident. You're not who you are by mere chance. God has you in place, even if it looks like an ordinary day, and you think, my life is so ordinary. God has you in place because he's carrying out a divine plan, and he wants you to be a part of that divine plan. Oh, he'll bring the plan together regardless of whether you connect or not, but you're going to miss out on a blessing, huge blessing. So don't lose sight of the fact that whatever you do in life, whatever it is you are doing in life, there are no meaningless moments. God's got you there for a purpose. And He's calling you to an extraordinary role. You may not ever think of it as an extraordinary role. You may think, this is the most blah of blah times. No, it's not. No, it's not. God's doing a great work. God is doing a great work. Let me give you very quickly four lessons that we can learn from Joseph. And we'll wrap this up. Four lessons that we can learn from Joseph. And Bev, I'm going to give you this because I don't think I gave it to you earlier. Four lessons. Here they are. Number one, don't be afraid of change. I don't like this one. I don't like change. I like everything perfectly as it should be. I would have just rolled over dead if I had been Joseph. Wait, I am Joseph. Don't be afraid of change. The change may not be comfortable. It may be hard to understand and accept. But it may be that the Lord God has an extraordinary role in life ahead for you. Don't be afraid of change. Number two, adhere to your faith. Remain confident in the work of the Holy Spirit, making you more and more Christ-like, especially in the midst of any change. That's what He's doing, carrying out His divine plan, but He's also making you and me more and more like Jesus Christ. So stay the course of the faith. Adhere to the faith. Number three, show compassion laced with mercy and grace, regardless of human emotions or human thinking. Now, this is a tough one. I know it. But let me just encourage you, when given the opportunity, always opt for the side of compassion laced with mercy and grace. That's what Joseph did. Folks, you cannot go wrong if you will do that. Number four, stay the course you're on in life until directed otherwise by the Holy Spirit. Even if what life seems to be mundane or immaterial for the advancement of God's kingdom on earth, stay the course. Stay the course until you hear differently from the Lord God. And then above all, number five, obey without question that which you know to be the will of God. Obey it. Obey it. Because God's got everything perfectly in His hands. I'll remind you one more time as we close. You may not know on any given day how the Lord God is going to use you to carry out His divine plan. It may seem to you like it's just an ordinary day in the midst of an ordinary life. But be assured, the Lord God is at work in you and He is at work through you. So, if I can encourage you from the Word at all today, it would simply be, go out there in the life that you've been called to today and in the days ahead, and be the Joseph type. Be the Joseph type. You can't imitate him completely because you're you, but be the Joseph type. And I guarantee you, God will do a marvelous work in your life for His kingdom's sake. Let's pray together. Father, thank You for the amazing God that You are, and how You, as we look back in history, how You orchestrate everything just perfectly. Thank You, Father, when we look at a man like Joseph, we realize that he lived a typical life, but in living that typical life, he went after You. He wanted to please You and serve You and honor You, even when things didn't make sense. And maybe for some of us here today, Father, there's some things in our life that, boy, it's really not making a whole lot of sense from a human point of view. Maybe we can't understand it. But Father, I pray that we, in seeking the leading of the Holy Spirit within us, will so know what You are telling us. We are so clearly grasping, understanding Your will, that Father, we will not back down, that we will stay the course, that we will faithfully serve You and obey You no matter what. And Father, we want it to be for You and You alone, for Your glory and honor alone. We want it to be for the advancement of Your kingdom. So, Father, I'm asking that in these days ahead, You would pour out rich blessings upon each of us here. Blessings in the sense that we are allowed to walk by, be led by, live by the Holy Spirit. And in doing so, Father, we will see Your kingdom advanced. Maybe just small little nuggets of seeing that kingdom advance, but we'll see it. And Father, when we do, we'll be careful to give you the praise and the glory and the honor. In the precious name of Jesus, our Savior and Lord. Amen.